time to wake up, Lower Alabama. Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is L.A. County.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning and welcome to L.A. Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Computer crisis.
Okay. Mike the Great. Yeah. Over there doing his thing.
No Ripster, computer crisis.
Pushing buttons. And it's Friday.
Oh.
This is Ellen's favorite day.
Oh, yes, because I'm doing a road trip to Dothan with the
boys. Well, I think it's more her favorite side of football season.
Actually, we have a great time on our Friday football broadcast. Plus, we'll have 3 hours back it up in the car. You know,
that
Archangel After Dark, we call it.
Do you guys tape that?
No, no.
So we can have segments.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to hear that.
You know how sometimes that second broadcast with St. Michael?
Yes.
You should have a third broadcast with Archangel After Dark.
There are no...
And the between segments.
W-N-G-L-A-D.
There are no basement tapes.
We have had some listeners that have said, can I come in studio just so I can listen to you all in between? I'm like, no. No, that's against the rules. Today's wide open on the general calendar, coming to the end of the 30th week in Ordinary Time, which means we are closing in on Advent, which is just incredible how quickly everything moves. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our sponsor, Cromwell & Associates, a non-traditional law firm that focuses on estate and business planning. Cromwell & Associates can be reached at 251-605-9075 or visit crom.associates.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, October 29, 2021. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that the Biden administration is in talks to give illegal immigrants $450,000 per person for those families that suffered under the 2018 Trump rules that separated families at the border. For the fifth consecutive year, Auburn University is the most popular public four-year university in the state for undergraduate students in Alabama. The most recent data available shows that 14,200 students were enrolled at Auburn, and that is the highest total in the state, beating out rival University of Alabama by nearly 1,000 students. I feel like Mike's waiting to comment on this.
Who took this census?
Alabama Commission on
data.
Higher
How many students
education.
Are going there? What do you mean, no? That's a number.
Okay. I don't accept the premise.
Be quiet. Turn your mic off.
Fake news.
Keep talking.
And whether a cold front has come through or a cool front, it's only fall, highs in the 60s the next couple days, but it will be beautiful. Georgia's playing Florida today, this weekend, Rip, and Miami's got Pitt, Alabama sitting on their sofa.
Yeah.
That's our, I don't know who Nebraska plays.
But getting ready for the second half of the season. Next weekend.
No.
That's a great time to have a bye.
Yeah.
It's always a good time to have
I don't know who Nebraska's playing, but maybe
we'll
our
find
guest
out.
Will.
We'll find out because it's Friday morning, so the media's hour comes on. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And who is Nebraska playing?
It doesn't matter.
Wow. Is it already at that point in the season, Tom?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Where you put the bag over head? Come on.
Listen, I'll say this. I'll be positive. Nebraska has lost to three top 10 teams this season by a combined total of 13 points.
They're almost back.
Okay. Come on. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. They play Purdue tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
All right.
There you go.
Sounds good. You and I have the blessing of going to the movie theater. It's nice that it's kind of regularly going back. There were plenty of people in the theater. But the movie that we went to see, Tom, was, I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling about this. The movie is Dune, and I'd love to get your take on it.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth on this movie. And I feel like I may need to see it a second time to to make a final call on whether, well, I don't know. I'm just not sure. This doesn't happen often, because normally if I find myself in a minority opinion, I just say, well, everybody else is wrong, and then I move on. But the audiences and the critics really like this movie. On Rotten Tomatoes, the critics have given it 83% positive ratings, and the audience score is 91% positive, which is kind of astonishing to me. But let me give you some background first before we dive into it. Dune is based on the 1965 Frank Herbert novel, which kicked off a series of science fiction novels that were very, very popular. I remember my older brother, Tim, was a big fan of these books. He read all of them, so they were the well-worn copies were laying around the house all the time. He read them over and over again. And then in 1986 or so, maybe 84, somewhere around there, a film adaptation of the first Dune novel came out, starring Kyle MacLachlan, and Sting was in it, I remember. Mm-hmm. My brother was very excited about this movie, so I think I went with him to see it. And he hated it because he said it completely messed up the book. And I didn't like it because I hadn't read the book, and the movie plot was totally incomprehensible to me.
Correct. I remember seeing it, and I felt exactly the same way.
Yeah. So that it was supposed to be the first in a whole series of films. Well, that ended it right there. It was a box office and critical flop. So now fast forward, I think the Sci-Fi Channel tried a TV miniseries a few years ago. I didn't see it. I don't know if it was well received or not. I really don't know anything about that. But this new film version is directed by, and I'm going to completely butcher his name because it's French, Denis Villeneuve, I think, or Villeneuve. He is known for directing the recent Blade Runner sequel, Blade Runner 2049. He also directed the sci-fi film starring Amy Adams called The Arrival. And both of those films I enjoyed very much. I thought they were very, very well done. So I was hopeful that he'd do something with Dune that would make sense and be, you know, the best adaptation yet. So this adaptation stars Timothée Chalamet in the main role. It also features Oscar Isaacs and Josh Brolin and Jason Momoa and Zendaya. And if you've watched the marketing, she is featured prominently in the marketing. I'll just warn our listeners. Somebody timed it. She is on screen in the film for a total of 7 minutes. So, just be warned. This is about a 2-hour-and-40-minute movie, and she's on screen for 7 minutes. So, you'll see her more in the commercials than you will in the actual film. Mm-hmm. But the premise, I won't get into too much detail with the plot because it is super complicated, and there are many levels going on here. But in the most basic way I can, the plot is that there is this intergalactic empire that sort of rules over all these different houses. And these houses are basically planets with different races of people. And each of these houses has its own royalty or leadership. And they're in, there's tension between them. Not exactly warfare, and some of the tension centers around this one particular world called Arrakis, which has a rare spice that can be used to power spacecraft to travel between the stars, intergalactic travel. So it's basically like oil. It's a sand planet. The whole thing seems to me to be a metaphor for the Middle East and the oil in the oil supply Middle East that everybody's always fighting over. So the planet of Arrakis has its own race of people who are basically enslaved, put into forced labor to mine the spice. And they want to keep it and use it. They use it for health regeneration purposes on their own planet. Anyway, so this all centers around the oppression of these people as spice miners and all these houses fighting over this mineral. So, that's sort of the setup. And then there's big sand monster, under the sand, and there's, other weird stuff going on, and it's very complicated. There's mystical stuff, there's prophecies, there's all kinds of stuff like that. Anyhow, as far as how it works, the books are complicated from what I understand, and there's lots and lots of thoughts. It's like J.R.R. Tolkien level world building. I mean, if you read The Lord of the Rings, there's so much going on in the books. You can't imagine how hard it would be to capture on screen. So this film, here's what I'll give it credit for. I watched it, and this time, even though I've still never read the books, I understood the plot. I didn't feel lost. I followed what was going on. And so that is victory. That's the biggest victory of all. That's a huge victory.
Mm-hmm.
And also visually, it's very, very cool to look at. The CGI of the spacecraft and the planets is really, really well done. The score is a Hans Zimmer score. It sounds like a Hans Zimmer score, very electronic, very rumbly. It fits the movie. It wore me after a while. It was a little much. They could have dialed it back a bit, but it fit. The acting is pretty good. I think the acting is fine. But here's the thing. Now, with all of those things going for it, it just was, to me, slow as molasses. And it just... Now, this director, he's known for this. Lingering shots and long, several seconds going by without dialogue. Just silence on the screen. Somehow that worked in his other films, and this one, I just found it to drag on and on. That might have something to do with the fact that the background is basically brown the entire film. It's sand. I felt like I was watching a movie through the sepia filter on Instagram. It was a rough go. I feel like with some editing and a slightly quicker pace that it would have been, I think, far more effective. And the biggest frustration of all is this only adapts the first half of the first book. So that you feel like the story is taking a while to really get going. And then finally, when it gets to sort of a turning point where you're like, okay, now it's really, things are going to start moving. All the setup is done. It ends right in the middle of the book. And so you sort of feel like the rug is pulled out from under you. Like, wait a minute. I know it's been 2 hours and 40 minutes, but I don't really feel like we got very far here. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like if they wanted to do this exact thing, they could have done it more effectively and better paced as a limited streaming series of like 8 episodes or something rather than half a book in a 2 hour and 40 minute movie that ends right in the middle of a story and leaves the viewer frustrated.
Now
it is available on HBO Max.
And that begs the question, Tom, because this is a big change, it seems, in the way people are consuming movie media. I did not even know that it was going to be available on HBO Max. My son has that. And I'm sitting there going, I enjoyed going to the movies with you. I always do. But what if I had said, hey, come on over to the house and let's watch it there in complete comfort? I know you want that big screen, but I think we're moving in that direction, right?
Well, I have mixed feelings about that because, like, let's say we had done that. I'd come over to your place and gotten comfortable and relaxed. I think I would have completely fallen asleep at the pacing. And I know this is the kind of thing, if I had turned it on HBO Max at my house to watch it, I would have gotten about 30 minutes in, and I would have stopped, and then I would have come back a day or two later, watched another 30 minutes. I probably would have watched this in about four sittings
mm-hmm.
instead of one.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing is the visuals and the sound are really so well done that I don't think even a big screen at home would do it justice. I think this really merits a big screen treatment in the theater for that reason. I would just say if people go see it, make sure that you are well rested before you go in the theater. And then it even warns you at the beginning. It says Dune, the heading is Dune Part 1. So it tells you right out of the gate, this is not the complete story. So I appreciate that. But here's what's interesting. The second film hadn't even been greenlit until they saw how this one opened at the box office. And so after a week in theaters, or a long weekend in theaters, they then announced the green lighting of the sequel. Basically, I think they were hedging their bets to see if it made money, and it did. It made sufficient money that they went ahead to green light the sequel. But boy, if I were a big fan of the books or something, or even just a fan of the movie, and sat through this, and then found out, oh yeah, well, we're not making the sequel, I would have really felt scammed by this incomplete story. So again, I think because it's this long series of books, I know they pulled off like Harry Potter, a long series of books and film. That worked somehow, because those are well paced and they move fast. But something that, and I'm not saying, you know, I've seen a lot of commentary online, people saying, well, you know, if you don't like this, you say it moves too slow, well, they're dumb. It's not, you're not a sophisticated viewer. No, that's not it at all. They can move it at a slow pace and take their time and really adapt every detail of the book. But that's not suited to a cinematic experience. That's suited to a home episodic viewing experience.
Right.
So I just think they, you know, but if they do that, they lose the visual and audio aspect of it. So I think it's kind of, you know, a double-edged sword here.
And then if they did it as a series, would they have the money to put into all of those effects? Because visually, this is a tremendous film. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not the biggest sci-fi fan. I haven't read the books. My kids have. They have told me, if you read all six books, they're like, Dad, they can get through like the first three books, but then it gets weird and you can't really make it into a movie that's going to be mainstream. So I don't know what they're going to do, but if they had done a series, Tom, would they have had enough funding, money in the front part of it to make it visually as astounding as it is? Because you're not going to make as much money, you know, in the end, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's a wall these studios are going to hit soon, is as people get more and more used to seeing big event stuff on the small screen at home, the expectations of the audience are going to rise about the effects and all that. So at some point, I think, I don't know. I thought during COVID maybe theaters were finally going to go away, but it seems like people have finally started coming back to theaters, so they're hanging in there for movies like this. And then again, there's this hybrid approach where they released on HBO Max and in the theater both, and it did well in the theater even though it was on HBO Max. So I think the answer to your question, Todd, is just a giant question mark. I think we're the studios.
That's not an answer.
What about Tom?
Try to figure it out.
What about appropriateness for kids?
Well, I will say kids, like actual kids, will be absolutely bored stiff.
Mm-hmm.
This will not be something kids will enjoy because it's not a real. There's some action, but not much. Few and far between. They'll be very bored. There's not any sexual content. There's some creepiness. There's some super creepy stuff. So you want to watch out for that for younger kids. There's no bad language because they wouldn't have those bad words in their language that whatever they speak in this setting. So there's really nothing objectionable. It's just a little bit intense and scary and boring for kids.
There is enough violence mm-hmm. in there. I mean, I would bring my 13-year-old, but I wouldn't bring my 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
But like
you
said, my 13-year-old would not like this.
Well, you lost me at 2 hours and 40 minutes, I can tell you.
I don't have a problem with 2 hours and 40 minutes, as long as it keeps me engaged.
Right.
But just as Tom said, I think the only thing that I had on the upswing is visually it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the music.
But that won't get you through two sequels, though.
No, I mean, not two sequels, but it'll get you through a movie that, because we're starved for content, aren't we, Tom?
No, we're not.
Yes,
there's
we
plenty
are.
Of content out there.
There is not.
Yeah.
Not well, the theater.
Here's one last thing I'll say that is positive, and that is this. We are, on the one hand, so much of our media is so immediate. You know, TikTok videos and 22-minute episodes of this and that and 8-minute shorts. And we're so conditioned to have short attention spans now and be entertained and amazed so immediately that a film like this that takes its time is a nice change of pace, and I think a challenge for our society to see if our attention span can handle it. So, I think it's. I think I might give it another go and watch it again sometime.
There you go.
Okay, Tom McDonald, good to talk to you. We'll speak to you tonight from the road in Dothan right. at the game.
Thanks, Tom.
Little Tulin.
Woo!
Katie, oh Mike, help
Zalanis.
Me.
Zalanis.
Thank you. Sorry, Katie. We're going to talk about Couple to Couple League here next on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay.
It's my love, open the door. It's my love, open the door.
I just love Liz. Thanks so much.
Freewheeling Friday here.
Yeah,
on
I know.
The music
I appreciate
scene.
It.
Yeah.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great producing like a boss over there. Thanks. Thanks, buddy. The Ripster doing his thing. On the line, we have Katie Zalanis, who's the executive director of Couple to Couple League. You can connect with them at ccli.org. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
I told you before we came on, I was excited to see CCLI because my wife and I, you know, back when we were married in 1990, I honestly did not know anything about natural family planning. I'd never heard of the symptothermal method at that time, but had some wonderful marriage prep and training and learned all about it. But I still think here we're in 2021 and there's a lot of people who don't really know what this is, do they, Katie?
No, they don't. Actually, that's the most common thing that we hear back from our students. Some are quite upset that they're, why didn't anybody tell me about this? And I think they're absolutely right. It's something that, you know, people need to know, and it's kind of hidden from people, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So Couple to Couple League has been around for quite some time, and they basically go and they teach this, right? Person to person. You've got some volunteers that do this, Katie?
Correct. CCL has an amazing story, so it's so fun to be part of it. It's actually called forth from Humani Vitae, where the encyclical specifically asks for couples to teach other couples about NFP. And that's what we've been doing as an organization. As you said, thousands of couples have volunteered their time to teach a scientifically based symptothermal method. And we've taught over 500,000 people now.
Now, back in the day when Todd was first came in contact with your group, there probably was not as much technical information available.
There was no internet back then.
Yeah, right, yeah. That. Now, it seems if you look on the internet, there's all kinds of apps and things to help you, like, for example, help women chart their cycles to assist in that. How is that? Or how have you used that kind of technology in your ministry?
Sure. There's a, as you were saying, like women and men both actually really appreciate having this knowledge. And so there's been a tremendous wellspring of interest in this. And more than 150 million women have downloaded these fertility apps. And so we see that as a great need to, you know, learn about this. And so we have our own app, and there's a few good ones out there, I would say. There's some that are simply like a utility notebook charting thing, but ours will help you actually interpret to understand the fertile and infertile parts of your cycle, which is extremely helpful. So there's, as you said, there's been a lot of technologies. It's been a huge help. And we've been very blessed. We now have our courses that are taught in person through a virtual, like, webinar type of a class. And then we also have a self-paced, which we've had for a number of years. But first it was in paper by mail, and now it's you know, you can do it on demand. So that combined with our quote coaches and our mentor teaching couples mean that anybody can learn the style they like to, and then we have someone to assist you, look, help you, mentor you, answer questions, look at your charts with you, which is a beautiful combination and very effective.
I do remember, though, Katie, there was a lot of, I don't want to call it straight up ignorance, but because I would talk about this in the staff areas when I was teaching high school. And there were mm-hmm. women teachers that would say, oh, that's a bunch of baloney, Todd. That doesn't work. And I'm thinking, I've got years of charts that will prove that this absolutely works. So, I mean, how do we get the word out, Katie, that this is scientific?
Right. I mean, for someone who, like yourself, who's used it, it seems pretty straightforward. You're kind of like, it's amazing. Like, your body's built to have you understand and work with your fertility. And it's, if you're well-trained, it's pretty straightforward. Even though we're talking about apps, you can do it with a pencil and paper. It's, you know, it's not that difficult. But you're right. There's a huge dearth of knowledge. The way I look at it is, you know, being brought up in business, you know, you kind of always follow that, all the money, where's the money? Well, the money was in Big Pharma, right? So Big Pharma had the money, they created the narrative. So women have, unfortunately, for the past 50 years, you know, every time you go to any kind of medical, I'm telling you from my experience, the first thing, you know, can we put you on the pill? We have to put you on the pill. You need to be on the pill, regardless of what it is, acne, you name it. And so it's done a great disservice to women, in my mind, creating that narrative that you need to be fixed. You know, we have a pill for that or a device for that. And so it's been really hard to combat that. But we do, right now, we just opened Fertility Science Institute. So that is something where we are inviting providers of all the methods of natural family planning, from instructors to coaches to medical professionals, to join us there. We're going to be, we have classes available all the way from mother, daughter to perimenopause to support women and men in this thing. So we're really working hard to, you know, bring that to those resources, the public in general, and help us create the narrative, because we do see it turning from Big Pharma. And it is going to end up at tech in a few years with all these devices. So I think we have a little window here to kind of get the word out.
Well, I think you hit upon something, and that is the personal and emotional connection in dealing with fertility as a couple. So Big Pharma wants to give you a pill that's going to solve your problems, and Big Tech will now create an app for you to solve your problems. But there's kind of that human element that a couple has with each other in of marriage and the fertility issues and stuff. So it seems to me it's a little bit sterile. And where couple comes in is just that human touch and putting that big picture of humanity, your marriage, and your life that the other two options maybe don't address.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, it reminds me that, like I was saying, when we go look at anywhere in the market, it's the reviews, it's the human review of whatever that product is to look for. And that's true for natural family planning too. Our teachers are giving their personal witness, just as you did, just as I can, that this method works and it's good for your marriage. It is centered. So the practice of natural family planning is based on self-sacrifice, and that's a beautiful thing. But the other thing we know, to your point, is we know that eventually, because it's based on sacrifice, that people will want a why. And that's where we find our opportunity to be able to share with people the beautiful theology of the body, because you just, you know, as human beings, you know, we're normally selfish a lot of times. So this method really challenges us, but the I always think of it as like a boot camp. You know, you put a little discipline in, you get great results. So when we can encourage each other, as you're saying, and that's what Couple to Couple Week does, it is those mentor couples that are there for you to assist you through your whole lifetime of fertility that make all the difference in the world, I think.
So if someone's listening right now, and either they are within their reproductive years as a married couple, or maybe they've got a relative that they thought this would be great information for, where do they start, Katie?
Well, the simplest thing is if you go to our site, ccli.org, coupletocoupleweekinternational.org, there's a button right there at the top, and it says, do you have cycle questions or problems? And then you can hit the button, get a 20-minute free consultation with our coaches who can help point you in the right direction, find some resources for you. We also have a button right there for Fertility Science Institute. And people can help us right now. We invite everyone to be part of this whole ministry. It's really needed right now. But also that directory, we need some help getting that filled up. So if you know someone who's a medical teacher, a doula, a medical professional who works with fertility, please invite them to, if you're one of them, please join our directory, because that's really how we're going to be able to help connect people. And there's literally millions of people. And we'd love to have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them through, just practicing good natural family planning. If we could, before big tech steps in and kind of, runs the narrative for us.
Sanitizes
again.
It in that you don't need any
exactly.
sort of emotional or religious component to this. We've got the science on our app to handle this all for
right.
you. I think a lot of young women are really realizing these days that they've forked over so much of their life to these big pharma in the last 50 years and the realization too with the apps. And so eventually we're going to have to turn back to talking to each other in our humanity in all of this. So I'm really mm-hmm. glad that you all recognize that this is just beyond the technical ability to track your fertility. This is something, a shared experience between a couple, and that's essential in building strong marriages mm-hmm. too.
But I don't think people are sharing right. the information. Like Katie, when my wife first started entering menopause, she had no one really to talk to because she had never been on the pill. And she couldn't find mm-hmm. any information. She finally found a study that was done on the Amish because that was the only place that she could find in modern day. But they had enough women as a control group who had never been on the pill, who were entering menopause and what to look for. So, I mean, we need more information, Katie, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, we talk to women and men all the time. And really, like I said, their number one comment is, why haven't I heard this before? Where were you? So we really definitely appreciate you both having us on and trying to start to get the message out. We are blessed, actually, to have so much online because we can reach across the globe. We have chapters across the globe, and now we're able to do on-demand classes when you need them. So to your point, we've got a lot of work ahead. Well, 50 years, but we're just getting started. It's amazing. But it's a joyful thing to hear stories of people who've been able to have babies. The baby stories are always fun for us. For women who have had, go in with medical conditions and finally find a doctor who understands and respects them and just doesn't want to put them on the pill. It's a beautiful ministry. So anybody and everybody who's interested, please join us, and everybody that we can help, we're happy to lend our 50 years of experience and training any way we can help anybody.
It does crack me up, though, Katie, because, my wife and I will talk with our married children, and when we break out our old paper chart uh-huh. and we had the mercury basal thermometer uh-huh. and the pencil,
oh, I know.
They just crack up. They're just it's as if I'm a caveman or something. I'm like, well, stop it. This was the technology back then.
Hey, it works. Basics don't change.
Right. I know.
Katie, where can they go to get information? Is it fertilitysscienceinstitute.org? Is that the correct website?
It is, okay. Yes, fertilitysscienceinstitute.org, and okay, so you can get there from typing that in, or if you go to ccli.org, that talks about, you know, if you have a, you can immediately get to a coach from there too.
Okay, good to know. Katie Zoulanis, yeah, the executive director of Couple to Couple League. Thanks for joining us this morning and sharing that with our listeners.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks.
Man, memories. I'm having whole, all sorts of memories of charting.
Gosh.
I know.
It's Friday. Oh, Sunday Gospel Reflections up next. Final segment on our Friday show here on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
My heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
That was perfectly timed, Michael.
Oh, indeed. Because he arrives exactly, precisely when I am planning on arriving. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning, your own Archangel Radio.
But we like the effort to come in person.
Indeed. Indeed. Right. Father Nicholas Napolitano is in studio.
Yes.
He's the Lord. Pastor of St. John's in Magnolia Springs and
Our Lady of Bon Secours.
In Bon Secours.
Bon Secours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, Advent is right around the corner.
I know. It's only 3 weeks away.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
I'm ready for it.
Okay. Indeed. Because you want to decorate your church, don't you? Churches.
Well, actually, we're consecrating an altar next Sunday, so I'm
oh, nice.
The Archbishop's coming.
How
to
much
a new
oil
altar.
Are you going to pour all over that?
I'm not.
Yeah.
The Archbishop does.
Right.
Oh,
okay. I know. How much oil?
I hope he makes us mop.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
I don't know. It depends on how much oil he brings with him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Got the big tub of oil.
I love that. Oh, and this. Oh, it's so good.
I have to say, the ladies that dress the altar,
yeah,
they're all very anxious about how much oil is going to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They want to have towels on the bottom of the altar. So, no, let it flow.
Uh-huh.
Let it make a mess.
That's going to be awesome. All right. That's going to be awesome. All right. Ready to dive into Mark's gospel?
I am ready.
Please do.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, He is one and there is no other than He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What a cool text.
Boom!
No one dared to ask him anything else. They just looked at him, I guess. Well, in this gospel, in this passage, you know, I think a lot of times we try to domesticate Jesus. We try to make him sweet and beautiful, especially at Christmas. We talk about Advent coming up. And I think this is one of those passages where we try to domesticate him, where we say, look, this is the great commandment, to love your God above all else. Yeah, but what does that actually mean? It means that everything that you do is out of love of God. And I think if you can use this as a great examination of conscience, I'm sure it would make me feel terrible. But to look at your life and say, okay, this is the very first command. This is the greatest commandment that God gives, and he gives it to Adam in a different way. But the command is listen, right? Hear, Adonai, listen. Listen to me. And we tend to live our whole life listening to ourselves, right? What do I want? What's the next best thing for me? How do I think of this? How do I think of that? How do I want to do this? It's all about me, and we live our lives all about me. And then when we do an examination of conscience and you go through the first commandment, I am the Lord your God, I think we tend to make ourselves gods and then not admit that we did it.
Yeah.
Right? And this commandment, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. It's an acknowledgement that you're not God. I'm not God. That God is God. And that in all things, the reason that I love anything, the reason that I love to speak, the reason I love to be with people, the reason I love people is because God is in those things, right? He's not one more thing competing for my affection. He's not one more thing competing for my attention, my time, my love, my energy. He is the master of all of that stuff, right? I mean, Todd, I love you, but I love you because God made you. I love you for God's sake, not for yours. And I think that sounds very odd to the Christian ear, at least maybe today. But that is the way that we need to look at the world. I love you not because you've merited it, not because you're, I don't know, a great radio host or friend. Yeah. I love you because God made you. And for God's sake, I'll do things for you. I'll work for your good. I'll work to achieve your good. Well, that's really how I have to live my life in all things. It's how, you know, you as a married man, you have your wife even and your kids for God's sake, right? You should do everything that you do for God's sake. Why do you do what you do at work? Well, for God's sake. And that's really the commandment. That's the greatest commandment. And Jesus presents this when he's questioned. This is the greatest commandment. Love your God above all else. The Lord your God is God alone. And the second, that's kind of what I was just saying, that to love your neighbors yourself, is to love them because, well, for God's sake, because God has created them. At the very end, you have the scribe. Now, the scribe knows Scripture through and through. He knows the commandments. He knows the law. He knows the Torah, because his job as scribe is to write. His job is to sit there and to make copies, make manuscripts of the law, to keep writing Scripture. So any good scribe is going to have the entirety of Scripture memorized because he's sat there day in and day out just writing it. And so they have the words of it memorized. But then you get to this, and he says, you're right in saying these things, and that to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offering or sacrifice. It's worth more than all ritual or wordy prayer, because he understands exactly what the great Shema is, right? He understands this law. And when Jesus looks at him and sees that he has understanding, he says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Mm. It's not that the scribe has done enough or made enough of his manuscripts or has done enough good or has done a little evil. It's that he actually understands that the relationship between us and salvation, the relationship between us and God, is a complete self-gift of ourselves to love God above all else.
I really want to know who this unnamed scribe is. I mean, I feel like this is a very profound understanding of the gospel message. And yet we don't get a name attached to him like one of the apostles or one of the disciples. It's just an unnamed scribe. And that's kind of like we are, unnamed, unknown in the universe, or maybe unknown outside our families or our circle of friends. But to have a great understanding of God, that is more important than all the worldly accolades or the names attached to you for this deep understanding.
Absolutely. And this, I mean, this scribe, his level of understanding, like you said, it's remarkable. And it's, I think it's the... This is my own understanding. Uh-huh. This is not church teacher.
No, that's fine.
But I keep looking at this scribe and this unnamed man and comparing him to Adam, mm-hmm. right? Who is Adam? Some guy that people didn't meet, but he was the first man, and he had a lack of understanding,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have this kind of completion of God gave this first command to Adam. Listen, you can have all the fruit of all the trees in the garden except the one in the middle. What does he do? Oh, I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat that pomegranate. But this scribe looks at God and says, no, all these burnt offerings, all these sacrifices, they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's love of God and love of neighbor. Self-sacrificing love.
Yeah. But I don't know if we'd want to know what happened after this. Because he might have taken this and not followed it through. There's a beautiful song that Michael Card wrote about one of the priests that encountered Christ at the temple when he was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And his heart was burning. And he knew
that it was the Messiah, but he walked away because he knew that it would rock his world. I mean, when we take this information and we really do ascribe our lives to it, mm-hmm. it changes everything. When we ask the question, do you want to be holy? Don't be quick to answer that. Mm-hmm. Because holiness means it's everything. Look at this. There is nothing being held back. Your soul, your mind, your heart, your strength. That's everything.
And you think of the rich young man, too, in Mark's gospel, who goes away sad. He goes to Jesus and he wants to encounter him. He wants to be with God. He wants to do everything he can do to enter into eternal life. And Jesus says, okay, the only thing you lack is, well, your attachments to the world. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says that he goes away sad because he had many possessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, holiness is, even in the gospels, people look at Jesus and say, it's too hard. Faith is not for the lighthearted. Yeah. It's for the strong. It's for the ones who want an adventure, who want a challenge, who want to fight. And we're called into that great epic of the faith.
Also, any encounter with God at such a level like this is not going to leave you unchanged. You can't recognize this encounter, accept it for everything that it is, and then go about your daily business. I put it in a box.
That's the problem. You can.
Well, that's
and there's
a lot of
lots
do.
Of people that do that,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And I don't want to be one of them, because mm-hmm. we can all fall into that trap. We can think, I'm good enough. This is enough.
No, you're not.
Thank you. And I need people in my life who love me enough to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Hi.
May we have your blessing.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on each of you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Father Nicholas, thank you.
You're welcome.
Always good to see you in studio.
Likewise.
Indeed. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Fast Signs, from business signage and vehicle graphics to festive yard signs and party banners. Fast Signs is here to help. Call the Fast Signs in Mobile or the Eastern Shore, or visit fastsigns.com and like us on Facebook. More than fast, more than signs. Who's coming up on Monday?
Yes, on Monday, Don Buettner has the Saints of the Month for November. We'll talk with Chad Pecknold about the Pope's meeting with Biden, and Andrea Pachati Bayer discusses the SCOTUS case, upcoming SCOTUS case for the prayer for a condemned inmate.
Hmm. We got football tonight.
And football tonight, yep.
We're traveling to Dothan, so yep. You don't have to.
And then St. Michael has their last game of the season against the Millery Wildcats.
Exactly.
So how do we listen?
On the app, switch to alternate channel, or go to archangelradio.com for the cycle game, and on the main station, and on the app for McGill Tooling.
Awesome.
Yes.
Y'all have a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.